The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good morning. I'll say a few words about just the context for this talk is a series of classes or sessions which are based on the Buddha's instructions for meditation, the Satipatthana Sutta, usually translated as the foundations of mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness. And so last week we talked about mindfulness of the body as the foundation for the practice, and how grounding and stabilizing and simplifying it can be to develop this practice, this capacity to be with the body directly, you know, to just simply connect to the sensations of the body without the intermediary of all our thoughts and ideas and concepts. And then as we start to do that, we begin to discover that body is a concept, and we begin to learn ways of seeing the body which loosen our identification with it, which loosen our grasping the body, and bring ease and peace and freedom. And so, Satipatthana, this idea of attending to something with mindfulness, is really about finding ways of relating to our experience that bring ease, that bring freedom. As I said last week, it's one of the key points for this practice is really getting, really understanding that things in themselves are not a problem. But the whole of practice turns on the relationship, how we're relating to what's happening. You know, so sometimes we say, in any moment, there are only two things happening. There's what's happening, and then there's how am I relating to it? How am I holding it? How am I seeing it? So this practice is almost fully concerned with this how, this relating, this relationship. So learning ways of seeing the body, relating to the body differently. So the Buddha talked about a few practices. One is this kind of this connecting to the sensations of the body. And then other practices, exercises of sweeping the body, going through, noticing all the organs and elements and skin and hair which make up the body. So that's mindfulness of the body. And with this second foundation of mindfulness, we move into the mind. And it's usually translated as mindfulness of feeling, It's a little bit tricky because in English, sometimes the word feeling is associated with emotion. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling happy or sad or angry or disappointed or... But for the purpose of these instructions for meditation, the word feeling is understood in a much more simple way, much more basic. Feeling simply refers to the quality of a felt experience which is either pleasant or unpleasant or in between or neither. You know, so in a way it's so simple that we usually overlook it. And that this practice is included in the very foundational basic meditation instructions maybe is an invitation that there's something here, there's something about this pleasant or unpleasantness which can be very significant. So the teaching is that in all moments, in every single moment of our experience, of our consciousness, there is this feeling tone. So we might usually notice it in very extreme, you know, I'm walking, I stub my toe, it's like unpleasant. Or to taste a food you love and that contact of the food in the mouth, on the tongue, it's like pleasant, very pleasant. But this dimension of experience, or this aspect of experience, is said to be present with every single experience of the five senses and the mind. So, a sight, a sound, a touch, a taste, a thought has the quality of being pleasant or unpleasant. An image in the mind is pleasant or unpleasant. I talked about this a few nights ago, and someone brought up the example of a study with earthworms. And that if you give an earthworm a choice between getting a taste of sugar water or getting a taste of vinegar, they just go for the sugar water over and over and over. I bring that up not to say that we to reduce all of human endeavor and capacity to, we're basically earthworms, you know, going for the sugar water. No, that's not what this is saying. But what it is saying, what it is pointing to, is that when we're caught up in something, when we're entangled, when we're suffering, when we're confused, when we're preoccupied, maybe we've already reacted to something much more simple, to something much more basic in our experience. And a big part of that is just the pleasant or unpleasant nature of our experience. So the Buddha talked about that, you know, the main value, you know, so what? Why does it matter, you know, if something is pleasant or unpleasant or neither? Why should we look at this? Why should we notice this? Why should we tune into this? And it turns out that not in a personal way, but in a kind of a universal feature or function of human consciousness, is that when something is pleasant, just as with the worms, when something is pleasant, we like it and we want it and we want more of it. We want to keep it. We want to grow it. We want to extend it. You know, this is natural. When a feeling is unpleasant, when a feeling is painful, we don't like it. We resist it. Our basic instinct is to push it away, get away from it, and often it's to replace that painful feeling with a pleasant feeling. You know, so I mean, a simple way of just noticing this in meditation is, if you find the mind going off into pleasant, what's the word? Reveries. Pleasant reverie of, just thinking about that vacation coming up or some pleasant thing that's going to be happening or something. Often, those reveries emerge. This is just something to notice or just to explore. Often those reveries emerge as a response to a feeling that's unpleasant. You know, so it could be something as obvious as my knee hurts, my leg has fallen asleep, the body is just in pain. And so we just escape. We just escape with something, some pleasant mental fantasy or story or something. Or it could be very subtle. It could be just the, just some feeling of boredom. You know, just a feeling of a little boredom. And that's unpleasant. So the pleasant feeling conditions what we call craving. The unpleasant is said to condition what we call aversion. And then the neutral feeling, the kind of in-between feeling, is said to condition delusion. You know, we just check out. When something is neutral, experience is neutral, it's not that interesting. You know, it's like there's nothing, there's no juice there. So it's really easy to check out and just to kind of, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're experiencing. And so the idea is that as we become more aware of this level of experience, the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral level of experience, it's almost like breaking the chain, in the teaching it's called breaking the chain of suffering at its weakest link. When we can notice something simply as unpleasant or simply as pleasant, it gives us the possibility or the space to not follow it to the next. It's pleasant, I want it, I have to have it, I have to have more of it. And meditation is kind of a laboratory in a way. You know, we sit with just this constant changing flow of experience, which is pleasant and unpleasant, and pleasant and unpleasant. And so usually, if the body is in a little bit of discomfort, we just move, we just shift, we just change, we just do something, or we just open the fridge or whatever it is that we do to distract ourselves. And then in meditation, rather than immediately reacting, you know, it's, can we just notice it? Can we notice? So the Buddha's instructions for the meditation is just to notice feeling as feeling, to notice the feeling in the feeling, to notice pleasant as pleasant, and to notice unpleasant as unpleasant. And so a painful feeling comes up in the body when we're sitting, and rather than immediately moving the body, rather than immediately distracting ourselves, or making a story around it, oh, I've been sitting for 10 years and my foot still falls asleep, why I'm blah, 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 blah. You know, is simply tuning in, oh, this is unpleasant, you know, this is painful. Or there's some image that comes to the mind of, after this I'm going to go and have a cup of coffee and it's going to smell like this and will taste like this. And it's, ah, you know, just noticing pleasant. You know, this is pleasant. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's not, but it's just noticing, this quality of our experience. And I wonder, how does this, you know, I mean, how does this teaching, how does this resonate? Is it, you know, some people can find this almost reductionistic in a way. Whereas others, you know, or, you know, it may be like, oh, this is, one of my teachers calls this vedana, this feeling, mindfulness of feeling, as the master key to unlocking the causes of suffering, you know. It's that when we're suffering, when we're either because of something that we're craving almost to the point of addiction, or that we are caught in some very strong built-up emotion, it has its root in this. It has its root in the pleasant and the unpleasant. And so this is kind of one of the roots of suffering and the roots of freedom. Just to say a few words about how we might practice with this, you know, in this very basic way. As I said, simply noticing the pleasant when there's pleasant, simply noticing the unpleasant. And while it's more challenging, noticing the in-between, you know, it's things we can notice after some extended period of meditation, or maybe after a longer sitting or day of sitting or a retreat, is that there's a way that the extremes of pleasant and unpleasant sort of come in. The range gets smaller. More experience can be noticed as, you could say, neutral or in between. And um, this points to just the very simple thing that the nature of pleasant and unpleasant is not in the object itself. It's in us. It's in our minds. It's how we're relating. You know, sometimes you could have the same experience, and sometimes this experience is pleasant. You know, like if you're having a difficult meditation and you're waiting for the bell, and then the bell rings and it's pleasant. You know, it's great. Or you're having a lovely sitting, and you're just in bliss, and the breath is silky, and or you're just totally daydreaming into some wonderful, juicy fantasy, and then someone just clang and rings the bell. It's it's unpleasant. It feels unpleasant. So pleasant and unpleasant is in the mind. And so the basic practice is just noticing pleasant and unpleasant and neutral. And then, as I talked about at the beginning of the talk, noticing the relationship, you know. How do I relate to what's pleasant? How do I relate to what's unpleasant? I remember there was a time in my practice when I noticed that just noticing that very strong movement of mind towards maximizing pleasure. Like if I can only increase the number of pleasant moments that make up my day, then I'll be happy. And if I can only decrease and shrink the number of unpleasant moments. And so just to see, you know, what are our strategies around pleasant and unpleasant? If these are really part of the fundamental building blocks of consciousness, fundamental building blocks of experience, how do we relate to it? How do we relate to pleasant and unpleasant? So noticing the reaction, noticing the relating. Sometimes, you know, when, you know, I have small children, and as much as I love them, there are moments of more or less frustration around, you know, the third time my daughter has thrown the beet soup, you know, off the table, one royal swing of her arm, and, you know, I've already become upset. The emotion's already happened. But even in that, I can notice the unpleasantness of the frustration or of the anger. And there's a way that it can almost be, I don't know, followed back. It's like following that thread back to that initial unpleasantness. You know, so it's an exploration. But the more we can, the more awareness we can bring to how we relate, how we react to pleasant and unpleasant, the more freedom we will have. And that's the proposition anyway. That's the invitation. And there's something incredibly powerful about, or empowering, I'd say, about realizing that we don't have to be pulled around by pleasant and unpleasant. That the locus of responsibility, of freedom, of it's all within us, within how we respond to these very, very basic, very simple dimensions of our experience. So the Buddha sometimes talked about these pleasant and unpleasant and neutral feeling as bubbles on the surface of the water. Visitors from a guest house, you know, kind of like the weather, like the winds. There's something that's, you know, we don't control what's pleasant and unpleasant. And so as we just get a little more familiar with noticing them, we start to notice how impermanent they are. You know, this is the bubbles, the ephemeral nature of what's pleasant. Which points us to you know, maybe I just make one more point about this. If we attach to something that's pleasant, we'll suffer. Because whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's impermanent. It will change. So something about this impermanence. And in sitting, in meditation, we can notice this by simply being with something that's unpleasant and staying with it and meditating with it until it changes. In the same way, being with a pleasant feeling and just staying with that and not reacting and not following it and not building on it and just noticing it and being with it and enjoying it, and then it will change. You know, so the more we notice this changing nature of the feelings, this is what enables the mind to begin letting go. Just as we notice the impermanence of the body sensations, really seeing the impermanence is what allows us to unhook the grasping, unhook the identification. If we really get that that painful thought or painful emotion will change into something else, if we really get that the ache or the, you know, the discomfort in the body, if we just stay with it, if we just hold still with a lot of care, a lot of patience, and we just stay with it, and we get that that will change, that is what brings the ease. That is what brings the equanimity, the balance, the freedom. And then, you know, is just to say, as we explore this in the meditation, we start to see the incredible value that this can have for our day-to-day life. You know, to be able to be sitting in traffic rather than reacting, but just noticing the unpleasantness. Yesterday I was, you know, driving around San Francisco, there's lots of opportunities to practice with unpleasantness and also pleasantness. But I was waiting to make a U-turn because there was an open spot. You know, just waiting there. And two or three cars that were going, and then the last car that was going, she sort of hesitated for a second and then just darted into the spot. And I just, you know, luckily, I was not in a rush or not in a, it was kind of in a settled space. And I noticed this immediate sense of unpleasantness. You know, like, but then quickly it was like, well, you know, that's okay. So I just continue with my U-turn and then just, you know, and then it felt very pleasant. You know, in not falling for the unpleasantness and not following it into a story or into a compounding it into some, you know, solid emotion, the letting go of it, of just being with it, quickly turned into pleasant. It was actually pleasant. You know, it was just, oh, I'm here, I'm fine, I'm driving. It was neutral to pleasant. So anyway, just the value of this, of having that muscle, of being able to notice these elemental forces of the mind, can bring, is what brings the equanimity, the balance, the you know, the freedom from these. So maybe that's all, you know, maybe that's enough for now. And does anyone have any questions about this vedana, about this mindfulness of feelings?
A lot of times it's easy to identify aversion versus, or positive, what did you say?
Unpleasant.
But sometimes it seems like they happen simultaneously. Mm. So there's both something pleasant happening and unpleasant. For instance, even like last night, I was having a very good time carving pumpkins with my grandson, but I was tired. So the tired is unpleasant, the pumpkins are pleasant, but it's all happening at the same time. So it seems not so simple to identify it as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral.
Yeah,
can you comment on that?
Yeah, that's a great. That's a great question. It's like when we talk about it, it sounds very simple, and according to the Buddhist understanding of mind or psychology, each mind moment has its own distinct vedana, its own distinct feeling of pleasant or unpleasant or neither. But a mind moment is like a, you know, is like, you know, maybe, I don't know what, how we could, in microseconds or something, right? You know, so I think it's a great point that often our experience is it's something that's more complex, and there are layers of experience where it's not like it's really, there's some root and it's only pleasant, or there's a root that it's only unpleasant. It's actually, either it's a mix of these, or it's you know, one way of understanding the mind is that it's they're not actually mixed together, but the mind's constantly, you know, moving between these. So we're experiencing the tiredness, and we're experiencing the joy and the pleasure of being, you know, of doing, of what we're doing, and we're doing it, and then we experience the tiredness again, and then so actually we're always, you know, and the experience of it is that they're mixed. And that, and which is fine, which is, you know, just noticing that, noticing what's pleasant, and noticing what's unpleasant about it, and you know, and maybe sometimes the value in that is that it helps us to understand our own reactions to something. You know, because it could be like I'm with my kids or I'm with my grandkids. I love them. I love being with them. This is pleasant. This is, so why is there all this aversion coming up? And you know, actually, there's also tiredness here, and also there's something that's mixed in with this that's unpleasant, and to actually connect with that as well, and to be like, oh, you know. In a certain way, this is really pleasant and enjoyable, but also the body is tired or the mind is tired. And then that can inform, well, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's just, that's the way it will be. Or maybe there's something, maybe you need to take a break or just, you know, something like that. But it's not as important to pin it down as pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. But what's more important is noticing whatever, just noticing the relationship to it, and however we're, you know, however that's affecting us. So I mean, it's a great question, and it's, yeah, I think it's.
What only happened to me once before, and that's that, because I really was cherishing everything you said. Then I noticed I was half asleep, or actually fell asleep, and I just wanted to ask you about that, because it seldom happens.
Just the sleepiness, or the...
Well, I wasn't sleepy when I came. I mean, I wasn't sleepy at first, but I noticed that I... No, I dozed off. My eyes were closed, but I know I missed a piece. And what do you do about that when that happens?
Someone told me the other day that she said, I fall asleep with you every night. And I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, I put on one of your talks and it helps me go to sleep. What's that? sleepiness in a talk or in a sitting, it's very common. It's very, I'll just talk about it briefly on a few levels. One is that, you know, it's not that often that we're doing this kind of activity where the body is still, and we're not actively thinking, we're not actively doing or driving or something, other than when we are intending to go to sleep. So we have associations with the stillness, and the letting go into sleep is one thing. Also, Most of us tend to carry some kind of sleep debt. You know, in just modern life with leading busy lives and artificial lighting and all the things that we're not so in tune with the rhythms of the earth and the cycles of the sun and the moon. We're just, you know, we're probably not getting enough sleep usually. So the combination of the stillness, the sleep debt, you know, that we need to, there's, the body wants more sleep. So that's one thing, just, you know, we just tend to be sleepy. Then also sleepiness itself can be, not always, but can be almost like what I was talking about earlier, a form of escaping into something that's pleasant. You know, so not consciously, you know, it's not necessarily a conscious thing, but it's like when we want to avoid something, one of the mind strategies or mechanisms to avoid something is to just check out, is to go to sleep. It's like two examples come to mind. One for myself, when there's something I'm really not looking forward to doing, like, you know, it's like 10 p.m. and I notice that there's still bills that I haven't opened on the kitchen table. It's like all of a sudden it's like, you know, so tired. I'm just tired. I'm too tired, you know. Whereas if, you know, I get a new email or, you know, I just remember, oh, yeah, there was that blog that I you know, it's like immediately I perk up and, you know, oh, yeah, or let me just check the New York Times website. You know, maybe I should just check it one more time. You know, where did the tiredness go? It's still 10 p.m., it's still these things, you know. So it's the mind kind of just, you know, just... so it can be a kind of, you know, just very subtle.
Because it was very strange today. I usually don't come on Tuesday morning. Yeah. And I had a very intense work day all day yesterday. But it was just long, long, long. But anyway, when I saw that you were going to be here today, I came. And I was very excited about it. And I was, I did the body scan as you led that.
Yeah.
And was real, you know, totally into mindfulness of body. And what did you do after that?
After that, we looked at pleasant feeling.
Okay,
pleasant
so
feeling
that
in the body.
I missed. And then what? Yeah. What else?
Pleasant and unpleasant. Yeah.
Okay, that I missed, yeah. But I was with you with the body and yeah. All that. So That's why I guess I'm raising it, because I really wanted to be here. And I found it so pleasant listening to you. Yeah. And that it's kind of shocking that to me that that happened. But okay, so that happened.
It happened. Well, that happens. And also, I mean, it's interesting that when the meditation shifted, that was, you know, I think most of us use the body to practice and use the breath, and the body is kind of the anchor, or is the anchor to the present moment. And then there's the, you know, what I introduced today is just this shift, you know, into another way of seeing experience. You know, just another slice of experience, pleasant or unpleasant. You know, pleasant or unpleasant. And it's associated with the body and sensations, but it's also associated with the mind, you know. And every thought, every reverie or image or something has a pleasant or unpleasant. And so maybe there was something that was so pleasant happening that, you know, you just, you know, so it's a great...
Don't worry about it. I'm glad it's on tape, because I will go home.
Well, yeah, that's right. You can... just not while you're operating heavy machinery.
One other question is, I'm going to be in Ireland with my husband's because of his work for the next 2 weeks. And I was wondering if what to look for online. I mean, do you look for Vipassana or mindfulness center? Like I wanted
in Ireland.
Well, for example, internationally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you look for online?
If you search we're usually called like the insight meditation. So you could search for insight meditation. If you search for Vipassana, you'll get more of the Goenka kind of thing, but you might find something. If you're around Belfast or Dublin. There's a Zen group. I mean, I don't know. You know,
I've sat Zen twice, but it's not easy.
Yeah. There's a very nice Zen teacher there. So.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I hope this wasn't too technical, you know, just to kind of, you know, just another slice of experience, another tool to notice the pleasant and unpleasant. And,
sometimes technical is good.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.